You know, as a matter of fact, we actually have this on top of our antenna. We are in control of a satellite in orbit, equipped with orbital mind control lasers. And a few people, we share this message with them, and they do not get turned into mindless zombies by listening to my program. We tell them that they have to put on a polished copper strainer over their heads.
Well, what happens when mindless zombies listen to your program? Do they become, like, mindful, non-zombies, or do they just become,
They just have a great time.
Dabbling...
All the zombies have a great time. The zombies start, they go out on the town, and they just go to town and paint the town black and blue. And they eat brains, lots of brains. And they kind of keep the streets clear of...
Foul brains littering up the streets.
Yeah. We have a nasty brain problem here in Cleveland.
Well, you know, when I was growing up in Dallas, picking up brains off the street was no big deal because, you know, obviously the Kennedy assassination, the subsequent Oswald shooting.
Battering brains everywhere there.
You know, everything from the Kennedy assassination down to the Mickey Mantle liver replacement operation.
Fellow Americans, my name is Scooter. Welcome to The Inner Side.
According to the U.S. Army, the man was told to stand on a box with his head covered, with wires attached to his hands. He was told that if he fell off the box, he would be electrocuted. It was this picture and dozens of others that prompted an investigation by the U.S. Army. The pictures show Americans, men and women, in military uniforms, posing with naked Iraqi prisoners. There are shots of the prisoners stuck in a pyramid.
Flies all green and buzzing in his dungeon of despair. Prisoners grumble and sip their clothes, scratch their matted hair. Tiny light from a window hole 100 yards away is all they ever get to know about the regular life in the day. And it stinks so bad, the stone's been choking and weeping greenish drops. In the room where the giant fire puffer works and the torture stops. The torture never stops. Slime and rot, rats and snot, and vomit on the floor. 50 ugly soldiers, man, holding spears by the iron door. Knives and spikes and guns and the likes of every tool of pain. And a sinister midget with a bucket and a mop where the blood goes down the drain. And it stinks so bad, the stone's been choking and weeping greenish drops. In the room where the giant fire puffer works and the torture stops. The torture never stops. The torture. The torture. The torture never stops.
What happened was there's a 57-year-old Iraqi man named Sadiq Zoman who was detained by U.S. forces during...
And in most of the pictures, the Americans are laughing, posing, pointing, or giving the camera a thumbs up. Yesterday, we asked General Mark Kent...
He was held by them, transferred to Crete, and there, apparently, is where he was...
Operations in Iraq, what went wrong?
What would I tell the people of Iraq...
He is in a coma. His wife and 9 daughters are trying to deal with the expensive medicines he needs every month to stay alive. They've sold literally everything in their home to try to keep feeding him and buying the supplies and the medicines that he needs. He was held in a U.S. military detention center in Tikrit. He was detained from his home, but it was U.S. military custody the entire time. He was in perfect health when he was detained, and when they dropped him back off at the hospital, he was in a coma with all the obvious signs of torture. He had electrical burns on the bottoms of each foot where electrodes had obviously been attached. He had electrical burns on his penis. He had whip marks all across his back. He had bruises up and down his legs and ribs. His right hand was broken. Both thumbs were broken, and the back of his head was severely bludgeoned in, and the back of his skull had very extensive bruising and was actually indented from the marks.
And this was reported as a heart attack.
Basically, the two top reasons they gave were a heart attack and heat stroke.
At this Iraqi prisoner porn, it's a bit confusing. It's a bit bukkake, if you catch my drift. They hung Japanese for this, you know, after the last big colonial human pyramid. Because we have women filming men having sex. It's not quite how we do things in America. Something's been turned upside down. Well, these people, these interrogators, they've been privatized. It's perverse. Where's the sense of duty? But we've had our special forces all over the world. Guatemala, East Timor, Nicaragua, Colombia, Haiti. Because they were us. They came from inside you and I. They were us, you know? Well, when nipple clips are attached to a generator, I'd feel much better if a civil servant was turning the crank. Don't you think? For freedom, our liberty, our credibility. They torture for America, not for money. They're being all they can be. Not because they choose to. They do it for us. They do it for America. The flag. A sense of history.
He said that when you ate the man. Do you mind if I ask? You said that afterwards your hunger was different, that you felt wanton.
Yes.
Did you feel it all physically changed? Stronger?
I seem to remember something like that. A certain virility. Why do you ask?
Male control and domination, of psychosexual and economic manipulation in our society. The historical male condition is one of deceptive coercion and violence, and the woman's fate is too often one of resignation and silence. The typical male thinks with his dick. That's how he rationalizes shallow sexual conquest as a means of self-expression and fulfillment in a world of alienation and emptiness under modern capitalism. However, the typical male considers a similarly promiscuous woman a whore, a slut, or a steeze. The typical male likes a submissive woman, one that's into shallow sexual experience but is not demanding. A woman who demands respect or demands a commitment in a relationship is often facing rejection by the typical male. Some characteristics of the typical male are as follows. There's the stereotypical brutal, assaulting, barbaric male, the one that's obsessed with violence, the one that we see in Hollywood movies and are most accustomed to. We also have what is now known as the sensitive rapist, one who wants to feel like there's a mutual understanding before he entraps the woman in a cycle of codependent sexual service. Then there's the pseudo-feminist, who may be committed to a woman, who may even be involved in the women's movement, but still oppresses by including his own self-serving patriarchal agenda in the situation. He may be from any racial or class background, from any religious or sexual orientation. All of these characteristics may and often do overlap, thereby adding a deceptively complex dimension to the typical male analysis. The typical male listens to a woman from a position of dominance or privilege. What that means to the woman is the typical male does not listen. The typical male conditions women to blame themselves for a failing relationship or for male infidelity. The typical male enslaves women in the working place as well, forcing women to tolerate sexual harassment in exchange for unequal compensation and status. The typical male is reactionary, conservative, a Klansman standing in Operation Rescue picket lines. The typical male is also a liberal. He supports pro-choice. Why not? He impregnates women and can't deal with the consequences of parenthood.
Typical male. Typical male.
Skull and bones. Bones. Skull and bones. Bones. Let's take this back. Let's take it down. Let's take it down now. Bones. Skull and bones. Bones. Skull and bones. Carry Bush. Bones. Skull and bones. Skull and bones. Carry Bush. Carry Bush. Bones. Skull and bones. I'm carrying Bush now. Carry Bush now. Carry Bush now. Carry Bush now. I like to carry that Bush. Skull and bones. Carry that Bush. Talking about carrying Bush now. Skull and bones. Carry that Bush now. Carry that Bush now. Carry that Bush now. Skull and bones. Carry Bush.
They get into each other. They're both doing a little handshake and everything. When they come, when they meet each other.
Oh, really? I didn't know these guys. So it's like skull. It's like
skull versus skull.
Skull versus skull.
Yeah. Yep.
the control factor. So, in other words, the old right-wing cranks were correct. The threat was the Cal Poly Foreign Relations in the East.
And the old left-wing guys, too. There were
the CFR and the trilateral.
And all the kooks were right.
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission was the threat, after all.
Mm-hmm.
John Birch Society, we laughed at it. Hey, it's crazy old people.
Huh?
Think there's commies under the bed. And it turned out the right-wingers were the commies all along. That movie Dark City is a thinly disguised parable of how they did it.
And a man looks...
They hid it all right in plain view. Oh, Mark the Beast? The mark of on your... There shall be a mark in your hand and on your forehead and so forth. Without it, you can't even... Hey, dude. The mark
the
on your hand is called your thumbprint. The mark on the forehead is called your face. The Beast is the character recognition program. Get used to it. You were marked when you were born.
Skull and bones. In a society where the incidents of rape and sexual assault are staggering, the typical man will still say, if she don't want to get pregnant, she shouldn't spread her legs. In the U.S. alone, where 4 women a day are killed by men, and every 18 seconds a woman is battered, typical males still find misogynistic music and comedy appropriate. In a potentially sexual situation, the typical male cannot act responsibly. The typical male thinks no means yes.
The majority of all rapes are committed by people who knew their victims. Co-workers, friends, relatives, neighbors, classmates, and dates.
And you too, baby. This is Uncle Tom, Commander in Chief of your Black Freedom Fighters in North America, bringing you the latest news from your fighting black underground. Hang on, brothers and sisters. Liberation is near. In just a few minutes, at precisely 3:00, we will demolish the lavish offices of the mayor of White Chicago. Cause we don't have a mayor, even if they do count our vote several times to elect him every 4 years. Remember, brothers, in spite of the lies about an assassination attempt on the mayor, which will appear in the white press, this time we blew the mayor's office at night when he was at home to announce the beginning of our war of liberation. I dedicate this program to the National Guard, but we're fresh out of hillbilly music. And according to the press and television, the Guard spends all his time playing basketball with the kids and helping old ladies cross the street. But we know better, don't we? It's almost time. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off.
Drive is not functioning correctly. I cannot find any of my backup files. Oh dear. Hurry. Well, I can't find my backup files. Oh career.
Oh no, the stuff my golden speculator overrides the
circuit. Who am I? Who am I?
It's almost time.
Where am I?
10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off.
And the mayor's office is now air conditioned, courtesy of the Black Freedom Fighters of Chicago.
We must bring them to their knees. We must bring them to the dinner table and shave their knees.
I cannot find any of my backup files.
That scared the hell out of me.
Oh dear.
Eskimos.
No, son. Eskimos haven't been a threat in years. But, well, you know Ted Jenkins' son, Wendell, don't you?
Sure, from your company picnics. But gosh, he's a grade older than me. He runs with a pretty fast crowd.
That's a crowd your mother and I don't want you trying to keep up with, Bubby. You see, Wendell was experimenting with...
cigarettes? Alcohol?
I wish it was alcohol. Or even masturbation. Wendell was experimenting with cannibalism. His father caught him in the garage, eating his sister.
Cannibalism. Gosh, I'd heard some kids at school have been trying it, but they were the kids from bad homes, whose parents didn't work as hard as you or Mr. Jenkins to put food on the table. Gosh, Wendell Jenkins, a cannibal.
Well, son, cannibals can come in any shape or size. Some cannibals can run very fast, and others are good at math. Take the car tonight, Bobby. It will calm your mother. As a father, you have to wonder if the simple act of warning your child makes him want to experiment. Maybe we shouldn't tell teens anything. Maybe then they grow up happy and safe. So, Bobby, how was your date with Becky Sue?
It was fine. Well, good night.
Any problems with the car?
Ran like a dream, Dad. Well, good night.
Say, Bobby, you and Becky Sue didn't experiment with cannibalism, did you?
Gosh, no, Dad. Well, good night.
Son, what happened to your ear?
Oh, I, caught it on a barbed wire fence. Well, good night.
This is Average Network Short Subject Number 13. We take you now to a quiet chamber at the Supreme Court Building in Washington, D.C., where, after a hard day wrestling with legalese, we find Chief Justice William Rehnquist, Justice Antonin Scalia, and Justice Clarence Thomas engaged in discussions with the Vice President, Count Richard Cheney, the evil vampire at the heart of the administration.
You've overstepped your bounds this time. I've warned you about coming to my chambers to try to influence justice.
Really, William?
We've known each other
Mr. Chief Justice, Mr. Vice President.
Oh, all right. Be that way. Mr. Chief Justice. We've known each other for 30 years and more. You knew full well that I'd be here.
Somehow, I'd hoped for more from you, Mr. Vice President. You've caused more than enough trouble with your hunting trip. Ducks? Ducks, Richard?
Well, that's what we told the press, anyway.
Yeah, laid it on real thick. I wanted to say we were shooting rats, but Dick said that was too obvious. It's propriety, gentlemen. Appearances matter for now. Listen here, Mr. Vice President. I've warned you. I don't care much for this George of yours.
He's a fool. He's intellectually lazy, actually. He's a fool. He's ruining the country with idiots like Ashcroft and Menkow. And now you want our help because your energy council was crooked. There is such a thing as honor, Richard. We gave you that election because you promised us sound conservatism. Then we paid you handsomely for it.
Yeah. But you ain't delivered, has he, Clarence?
He ain't delivered, has you, Count Cheney?
That's right. Say, you treated us like mugs. Sound conservatism. Nuts. Well, we had this little incident. 9/11?
You were running up deficits before 9/11. You've been very irresponsible.
But I can't really take all of that. You talked Bonehead into that wetlands initiative as you discovered that it's fun killing ducks. Right, Clarence?
Wet ducks. Fun to kill.
It wasn't really.
You're as big a fool as that creature you put in the Oval Office. Look at these advisors to your council. Every troubled energy concern from Enron to Exxon. Every rapacious land swindler except Donald Trump. I don't care what Tony and Clarence do. I can't stand with you on this, Count Cheney. You've created your filth. Now you must sit in it until you can crawl out on your own.
What a disgusting analogy.
I'm sorry. It's my considered opinion. Analogy and all. Well, really, William, Mr. Chief Justice, it is such a very small thing, the Energy Council, you know. Small thing? Helping to conceal what may well have been a crime?
You know, Dick, you got a lot of chutzpah. No use for it myself unless it's coming from me. Get me?
Yeah, get him?
Clarence, you aren't any help at all.
I didn't know I was supposed to be. Tony?
You're doing fine, Clarence.
I'm doing fine, Judge Cheney.
Count Cheney, Mr. Justice. Well, if you aren't going to help, you aren't.
Mr. Vice President, your ambition condemns you, as it has so many evil creatures
throughout human history. I'm sorry, with all due respect, I'm not staying here for a lecture on morals and ethics.
Richard, how very rude.
He turned into a bat and flew away.
Nah, he does things like that. He's a vampire, Clarence.
I know, but I've never seen anybody turn into a bat before.
There are a great many strange things in Washington, Terence. You'd best get used to them.
I'm trying. would anybody like a Diet Coke?
Get away from me, Clarence.
Average Network Short Subject Number 13 was written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and some Average Networkers. To carry out your own celebrity impersonations, follow these simple steps. Place celebrity on ground. Light fuse. Get away. Safe and sane celebrity impersonations are the best celebrity impersonations. This is Pablo T. Flies for the Average Network. I warned you to get away. Okay, well... stay tuned!
From the top, you've been listening to an excerpt from one of those Hours of Slack, Church of the Subgenius, a little bit of Cyber Zen Sound Engine, then the Torture Never Stops mix with Frank Zappa supplying the musical ambiance on that. Some Over the Edge, sounded like a weird movie clip. Consolidated with Typical Male. A slight transgression into the Bush and Kerry Skull and Bones thing there. Couldn't resist that groove. Special thanks to Skidmark Bob Free Radio Santa Cruz for the Consolidated. After that, some Slave Revolt Radio. Sounded like a movie clip where they air conditioned the mayor's office there. Slave Revolt Radio out of Berkeley Liberation Radio, pirate station there. The cannibalism threat was more Church of the Subgenius, and we ended up with some Uncle Bob from the Average Radio Network. He's out there at KPFK, sister station, Los Angeles. This is Scooter. You've been listening to The Inner Side on KPFT Houston. Stay tuned for Rad Rich!
Find any of my backup files. Oh dear. Hold on. Well, I got down my backup files.